The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. If you're listening to the podcast, it probably means that it is Friday, April 9th. If you're watching us on YouTube or maybe another platform where you can view people doing things like TikTok, it could be Thursday. Afternoon, we're recording this myself, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, here to do a mailbag podcast. What's up, fellas?
Yo, yo, yo. Brinson, Breach, you won't believe this, but Brinson was late to the podcast again, and so late, in fact, that your daughter made her debut appearance on the podcast, and she's now 1 year old. That was great.
My daughter, who is 366 days old, was more punctual than Will Brinson, which pretty much sums up Brinson's entire existence.
I don't even
being beaten by a baby.
Okay. 1:45 is the new time for these mailbags on Tuesday, not 2 o'clock anymore. 1:45. Good to know. Anywho, I was just sitting there watching the Masters. I could have walked up here at any point. I wasn't trying to be late. I wasn't doing anything wrong. Before we get into the mailbag, a couple of housekeeping items. One, make sure and check out awesome NFL draft chatter with Josh Edwards from Thursday's show. On Monday's show, we'll have Mock Monday 9.0. That's right. Ryan Wilson will do his 32nd mock draft. And of course, it's Masters Week. Azaleas, Butler Cabin, green jackets everywhere. Pigs, kielbasas in a blanket. I don't know if you guys saw that. Did you guys see that with Dustin Johnson's champions dinner?
No. I haven't been watching a lot of Masters coverage. I've had CBS Sports HQ on in the background while I've been grinding on tape, but I haven't actually watched it. Sorry.
So DJ was, he's the champion in November, so he gets to pick what they have for dinner. And it was pretty delicious. I'm sure it was outstanding. It was like filet, mashed potatoes, vegetables. You had the option to get sea bass if you didn't want the dank filet that they have at peach cobbler ice with ice cream. But for his appetizer, he wanted pigs in a blanket. And, they classed it up. They didn't want to do just little wieners and wrapped in croissants. So they did like kielbasa, smoked kielbasa in a puff pastry. It looked fantastic. Anywho, pimento cheese sandwiches, egg salad, domestic beers in those beautiful green cups. Oh, it's everything. And CBS Sports is your home, as always, to watch DJ Brooks, Rory, well, not long for Rory, and all the action unfold at Augusta, whether you're looking to watch on the range, featured groups, aim in corner, holes 15 and 16, all four rounds. And of course, the CBS broadcast over the weekend. It's all available on CBSSports.com, the CBS Sports mobile app, and Paramount Plus, where you get a mountain of entertainment. Pimento cheese sandwiches not included, but we'll work on that for next year. As we mentioned, Monday will feature Mock Draft 9.0 on the podcast with Ryan Wilson, which leads us to our next point of housekeeping, the first mailbag question. This comes from hashtag Fire Ryan Wilson. Awesome podcast. Love it so much. Are you guys aware of the movement on TikTok to get Ryan Wilson fired?
I mean,
I thought you were going to play the clip. What are we waiting for?
That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, you get mad at us.
We got a clip?
Yeah, of course we have a clip. So, there's apparently like an entire TikTok movement dedicated to getting Ryan Wilson fired.
It's dedicated to canceling Ryan Wilson.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They want to cancel Ryan Wilson, and it's my favorite thing of all time.
And to be sure,
I'm just stopping by to say, fire Ryan Wilson.
Ryan Wilson, you are the worst.
I'm not completely sure how, Mr. Ryan Wilson here has a job at CBS.
Well, the idiot is finally back. There is not a single analyst on this planet that is dumber than Ryan Wilson.
All right, bro, these mock drafts need to stop.
So my boy Ryan Wilson over at CBS Sports came out with his latest mock draft. Every week I pray that this guy will make a good mock draft, and he just can't do it.
At this point.
Was that it? The highlight for that for me
Stay off the weed.
Oh, I talked over that part. That was the best part. The highlight for me wasn't the stupid ass people making comments. It was Brinson thoroughly enjoyed it in much the same way I enjoyed your meltdown a few days ago. So fair's fair, I suppose, because
my wife walked in the house and I go, oh my God, guess what? And she was like, what? Like, is everything okay? Like, did you win more money playing DMS? I was like, no, there's a bunch of dudes on TikTok who want to get Wilson fired. It's the funniest thing ever.
So my boy Ryan Wilson over at CBS Sports came out with his latest mock draft. Every week I pray that this guy will make a good mock draft and he just can't do it.
So, this is my own doing because my buddy texted me this because his son found it. He's a teenager on TikTok and was laughing at it. So let me tweet this out because it's funny. And that alerted, dumbass Brinson to move forward and try to make contact with the group of morons. And I think he got in contact with one of them. Here's all I'll say. Like, I'm fine. You can go on TikTok and do whatever you want to do, clearly. Although the TikTok that I put in Slack the other day might be one of my favorites. I don't know if you guys watched that one where they're all drinking mimosas. Like, oh, I've had three mimosas.
Oh yeah. And then the girl busts her teeth.
Oh my gosh. But
yeah, after
six. I mean, here's what I would just say. Send me ryan.wilson@cbsi.com. Send me your mock drafts and let me see how different they are. So I can be enlightened as to what's going on because I would love to, at the end of the day, all the mock drafts end up looking the same. I mean, I don't know, you know, I get it. You're clout chasing like you're, you know, that young kid yelling at Cam Newton for no reason. But at the end of the day,
are you the Cam Newton in that situation?
I would love to be the Cam Newton.
You're the washed up former MVP trying to get his life back together.
I think Cam Newton's probably doing a little better than I am, but at the end of the day, like, what are you yelling about? Like, I don't get it. But hey, if that makes that guy feel good, more powerful.
The other thing I would say too about, to be quasi serious for a moment here is that, you know, when you're younger and you're doing the internet thing and you're, you know, it's when you're younger and you're starting in the business and you don't have a foothold as a full-time job, it's a lot easier to lash out and bash people.
We did the same thing 15 years ago at Fan House.
Right. And I would just say that if you want to do this full-time and you want it to be a serious endeavor, perhaps, you know, just be careful of who you, like, maybe one day you're up for a job at CBS and somebody's like, hey, Wilson, we're thinking about hiring this guy to be one of our draft analysts. And Wilson's like, actually, that's the dude who tried to get me canceled on TikTok.
So Wilson will be doing the Ryan Howard from The Office, pulling out his notebook and looking for the names. That gift.
That's correct. I am switching my headphones very quickly. So say something, Breach, that would be interesting.
Well, the funny thing is to me when this TikTok draft analyst has 7 million followers on TikTok and becomes the biggest thing
right in
NFL draft analyst history. And then Ryan's going to have this side podcast on TikTok where he makes fun of that guy.
I would have to end up working for him at some point. That feels like the natural progression of what's going to happen.
100%. 100% chance.
But Brinson, while you were watching golf before you came on, I was telling Debo and Breach, my new thing is like if people, especially young people, say stupid stuff on Twitter and I'm paying attention, usually in response to mock drafts because no one else yells about it because I'm not on Twitter for much else. I'll go look and see like, you know, what the story is and I'll say something nice in response just to sort of disarm them.
No, it's true. If you disarm people, If you disarm people like that, it flips the script completely. Like if you get an angry at the end, it's like, you piece of crap. How dare you say that the Eagles would draft this guy? And you're like, hey, look, I mean, you know, this is just what I think about this and this is what I'm hearing. And you know, here's what and they're like, oh, you know, I totally understand. Apologies for being insane.
Right. I actually took it a step further. It was a high school kid because I checked his Twitter bio. He said, why do you have a job? Which is, you know, you get that response a lot.
Yeah.
And I didn't even address it. I just said, hey, congratulations on getting into college. I was, you know, it was nice of you to thank all the people to help you get there. Good luck, something like that. So he immediately tweeted back and said, oh, thank you very much. I would love to send you one of my mock drafts, which was, you know, predictable. So I sent him my email and, you know, now he's sending me questions about how to get into the business and all this other stuff. And as I told Debo and Breach, I was like, first thing, you know, don't be a butthole. That's a great place to start.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, he seemed like a decent kid, but you know, we live in an age where you can go on the internet and say whatever you want. It's people think it's okay. You know, and I get that on some level because that's just the culture we're living in. But man, that's a tough way to go through life. Just spending your time being angry and you know, you end up like Clay Travis. You do that too much.
Well, it feels like the moral of the story here is Wilson, that Ryan Wilson's can never go on TikTok.
Wilson's like, don't bash people online. You'll end up like Clay Travis.
No, I'm just saying like that's a hard job to, To sustain, to be angry about everything all the time.
Yeah, you gotta, it is a hard job. That's a great point. All right, let's dive into the mailbag. Mailbag five stars. Awesome podcast. Keep up the great work, fellas. Raiders fan from Hawaii.
We should do a podcast from Hawaii. Who do we talk to?
Well, we fired Sean, whose parents had a house in Hawaii, so that's on us.
We fired him because he wouldn't take us. By the way, speaking of people, we talk about fan house. Are you aware that Shane Bacon is leading the featured group coverage on the Masters?
What channel is that on? I thought he worked for the other network.
No, they brought everybody. It's run by Augusta and it's distributed on like Paramount Plus and ESPN Plus and all that.
Oh, okay.
Like this morning I turned on the featured group channel and it was like, I mean, well, it didn't say hello friends, but it was Shane Bacon introducing it, and he's the lead guy. It's pretty awesome. Love Shane Bacon. Great dude. Yeah. Raiders fan from Hawaii. By the way, best thing about living in Hawaii, football starts at 7 a.m. If football's on, it's okay to drink beers, I think. That is correct. Oh boy, this is, God. He said, this is from Bix and Shiv, by the way. Is Gruden a good coach? Is Derek Carr the guy to take us to a championship? How does the franchise succeed, especially in the Chiefs division? Thank you.
First, you petition to get moved out of that division. I think that's your best chance of competing.
Your only chance.
I think Gruden is a good coach. And Brinson, you've actually talked about this in the past. We didn't know coming back when he unceremoniously replaced Jack Del Rio, who was forced to, at his resignation, also announced he was being replaced by John Gruden, which I thought was weird. I didn't know what to expect. I think a lot of us didn't. But I think in terms of X's and O's and in-game stuff, he's as good as he has been. Maybe he's better. I think the issues become when he's making these personnel decisions that leave you scratching your head. Like cutting the entire offensive line and then bringing him back and then trading him and then signing a few of the guys, or like drafting Cleveland Farrell fourth overall when it felt like he was probably more of a mid to late first round pick. That hasn't worked out. And, you know, sometimes you take chances on guys, but I'm not sure John Gruden beyond the coach has what it takes to get the Raiders where they need to be. I'm trying to think. So if they were in the AFC South, would you feel better about the Raiders?
I would feel they'd have a chance to win the division. I give them zero chance in the AFC. Well, I give them 0.001% chance in the AFC West. But in the South, you know, we'd be talking about them as a possible contender. I wouldn't pick them to win a division. And that's because the quarterback is Derek Carr. And one of this guy's questions was, is Derek Carr the guy to take us to a championship? Let me just say that I lived in a Derek Carr-like situation with Andy Dalton. The ceiling is the playoffs. Derek Carr is not taking you to Super Bowl. Brinson, you're nodding your head like Derek Carr is like this amazing quarterback compared to Andy Dalton.
I'm nodding my head like we're less than 10 minutes into the podcast. You already managed to bring up Andy Dalton again.
Well, I'm just saying they're similar quarterbacks, and that if he is your quarterback, you feel like, hey, maybe we can get to the playoffs, but you're not thinking about a Super Bowl. You're not getting to a Super Bowl just because he's not as good as these top tier guys.
Yeah, I do think you're both correct. And we can address these topics about the Raiders without insulting the Raiders. So the question is Gruden a good coach? Yes, John Gruden is a good coach. If you give John Gruden a good roster of offensive players, he's going to create a really good offense. I don't even know that you need a great roster of offensive players to have a good offense with Gruden, because I think he's that good of an offensive coach. We don't know yet if he can get the most out of a defense, but he has coached a defensive-based team to a Super Bowl in his prior existence as an NFL head coach. So I think with elite defensive talent.
Well, that was Monty Kiffin and some young defensive backs coach named Mike Tomlin doing all the heavy lifting on that side. I don't think he had much to do with it.
But I'm just saying that like he has a track record of being able to hire guys to produce
quality defensive
product with quality defensive players. However, John Gruden is not just the coach in Las Vegas. He is also the football czar and Mike Mayock's boss, regardless of what you might hear publicly. He has final say on everything. And I think that the biggest problem for the Las Vegas Raiders now and moving forward is that John Gruden is the guy buying the groceries. John Gruden, good cook. John Gruden, not a good grocery shopper right now. And that sort of dates back to his days in Tampa Bay too, after he won the Super Bowl and when he was really in charge of doing all that. So I think he is a good coach. I don't think that the franchise will succeed with John Gruden being placed in charge of acquiring all of the talent.
Well, Bix and Chips asks, how do they succeed then?
Like, what's Breach is actually right. Derek Carr can get you to the playoffs. He's not getting you to a championship.
Carr, I don't think, is very high on the list of things to be worried about, though. I feel like the defense is the first 11
slots. I think if they had a top 10 defense, then Derek Carr could potentially win you a championship.
Yeah, that's slow down.
But they're still far away from having a top 10 defense. I mean, they're not even remotely close to that right now.
They're not close to having a bottom, like a top 20 defense. Like, they're in the bottom third, and it feels like closer to the bottom than the 20.
Yes. So how does the franchise succeed? I mean, I think what needs to happen is John Gruden needs to cede some of his power in terms of personnel, or at least create, and this is hard to do for any individual with power in any position, much less a football coach. He needs to create some checks and balances, and he needs to bring other opinions in and to allow Mike Mayock to do what Mike Mayock is supposed to do, which is to identify draft, you know, players in the draft and select.
Let me ask you this. 3-year plan. What are your concrete suggestions for challenging the Chiefs? Exactly. That face is exactly the answer.
I mean, draft Justin Herbert. I don't.
Well, Justin Herbert on that team is not going to challenge the Chiefs. Like, I don't know
what to do, because they had their biggest strength was the offensive line, and they rebooted that this offseason. They paid Tyrell Williams a ton of money. That was obviously a mistake. Defensively, I just don't think that they just have to hit a couple defensive home runs in the draft and free agency. And I don't know that that's going to magically happen in the next 3 years based on what we've seen from them so far.
Is there any reason to believe that the other three teams in the division are closer to the Chiefs than maybe we feel like they are?
I think that the Raiders, you just said, what do they need to do over the next 3 years to compete with the Chiefs? And again, you know, the Raiders were the only team in the NFL that beat the Chiefs starters during the regular season last year. So it does feel like maybe Gruden has his eyes on beating the Chiefs at the expense of, now we can't beat everyone else. And
they should have lost to the Jets.
Exactly. So that's rough. But I do think that he is, you've got to flip the defense. You got to make the defense better. And they took a small step toward that. I think hiring Gus Bradley is a huge step up over Paul Gunther, who was there and got fired last season. So I think Gus Bradley can flip that defense. I don't think they're going to be a top 10 defense next year. They'll be lucky if they're a top 20 defense, but they will be better than what they had. And that's what you need. So the offense is going to produce. Maybe they're not going to produce as many points as the Chiefs offense. But Gruden has shown that he can make that offense work with whatever personnel he has. So it's just a matter of that defense slowly improving. So like Brinson said, you got to hit some home runs in the draft defensively, go out, maybe get a couple wide receivers in free agency over the next year or two, beef up that offense. But I don't think they're that far away from competing. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the playoffs this year. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I could see them getting a wild card spot.
I mean, all right. So the last two draft, I mean, I can't help but think back to the 2019 draft and the Raiders having, where was that draft? Was that in Nashville?
Yeah.
Good God, that feels like a long time ago.
That was 8 years ago.
Yeah. We're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself coming into the draft, the Raiders have 3 first round picks and the Giants ended up picking 3 picks as well. They had to trade back in, but you're thinking there, you have 3 first round picks. There's no way you can be anything but a massive winner on that first night when you write the story about who won and who lost. And yet they came away with Cleveland Farrell, Josh Jacobs, and Jonathan Abram.
Like, favorite pick of those three was Jacobs. That's how bad the...
Yeah. And it was like, Abram's made some plays when he's been out there, but he's only played 14 games so far in 2 years. Cleveland Farrell has 6.5 sacks in 26 games. I mean, they drafted him for Josh Allen, who the pass rusher for the Jaguars, who clearly looks like the better player. And Josh Jacobs could have been rookie of the year and is a dominant, like, running back, but he's still a running back. Like, if that's what you came away with in that draft. Now they did pick up Foster Moreau and Max Crosby has been very good. Trayvon Mullen as well. Hunter Renfrow. I mean, there's some pieces in that draft, but those first 3 picks feel like Gruden picks. And then the maybe he let Mayock do a little bit more work. And then, you take Henry Ruggs over CeeDee Lamb, Damon Arnett is your first round pick at the back. They had 5 first round picks and 3 of them are on defense, and it's, it's like the opposite of what the Saints had in that famous 2017 draft. Like when you have five first round picks in 2 years, you need to transform your defense, and they haven't done that.
Yeah. So let's play the game that I like to play. Who could you have had? So in that 2019, they took Clelin Ferrell at 4. They could have had Devin White.
Jeez.
You mentioned Josh Allen.
And Mike Mayock came out and said before the draft, if I do recall correctly, that he thought that Devin White was a player.
I'm sure he did. Everyone else thought he was. You could have had Ed Oliver. You could have had Devin Bush. You could have had Rashawn Gary. You could have had Christian Wilkins, who he hasn't flashed, but I think that you could have Brian Burns. Montez Sweat. So Montez Sweat fits down to, he's the guy you could have taken instead of taking Josh Jacobs at 20, or 24, because he went 26, but I like the Josh Jacobs pick, but you certainly could have taken him instead of taking Jonathan
Josh
Abrams.
Josh Jacobs, though, he went at 24th. The next running back wasn't taken until 53rd overall. So good, it's point. Not crazy to think that the Raiders could have picked him up. They picked at 40th in the second round. He might have still been on the board there.
And they could have, like, instead of taking Jonathan Abram, who I wasn't crazy about coming out of the draft, and as you mentioned, Brinson, he's been hurt, they could have had Deebo Samuel. And Deebo Samuel's so far better than Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs is only 1 year in, but it just feels like they whiffed on the, you have to hit on the first rounders if you're going to be a good team. Like, you have to hit on you're a great team when you hit on the late day two, day three picks.
Well, and also, like, with respect to that 2019 draft, Clelin Ferrell at 4 was a shocker.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
We said at the time, why wouldn't you trade down and take Clelin Ferrell? Because there were teams, the Giants were eyeing Daniel Jones at 6. I mean, Devin White was sitting there. Josh Allen was sitting there. Teams loved Ed Oliver. Pittsburgh traded up to 10 to get Devin Bush. I mean, there were some players on the board when they took Clelin Ferrell. And I know that it's easy to get caught up in second guessing guys who do this for a living, but like nobody had Clelin Ferrell going above Devin White, Ed Oliver, or Josh Allen, or Devin Bush. I mean, or even Christian Wilkins. So, I mean, I think with that one, and you point out the stuff with Josh Jacobs, I mean, there are just ways to make this defense better out of the gate. Or heck, I mean, package 27 and 24 and trade up and get somebody like Jeffrey Simmons. You know, I mean, they're just, yes.
I am looking at one of Wilson's final mock drafts before the 2019 NFL draft. You know who he had the Raiders taking? Devin White. You know who's been good on the Raiders right now? Devin White.
Put that on TikTok.
He'd be awesome on the Raiders.
But, like, and the point is, Brent, what you just made about Clelin Ferrell, that they reached for him. They could have waited and traded down and got him later. And that's what I said about Josh Jacobs, that if you're reaching for guys and you're taking, you could have gotten Josh Jacobs at 30 or 32. You could have traded up from 40th in the second round. You could have traded down with your fourth pick and ended up with more picks, so you can pick more defensive guys in case you're getting whiffing on your picks like the Raiders seem to be doing. So it's not like Josh Jacobs has been bad or Clelin Ferrell has been bad. It's just that you're reaching for your picks and you have five first rounders the past few years. You can't be doing that every single time, or you're just getting this reputation. People want to pick behind the Raiders because they know the best guys are still going to be on the board because the Raiders aren't going to take the best guy.
I mean, they drafted Lynn Bowden with the 80th overall pick and traded him before he played a practice snap for him.
Right. That goes back to you can't miss on the early round pick.
And I would like to note that same mock draft that where Ryan had Devin White going 4th overall, he had the Raiders with the 24th overall pick taking Clelin Ferrell.
Mm. Get him anyway. Don't put that on TikTok.
I mean, look, I'm not saying that there were definitely picks after. I mean, that's just a wasted pick. Like, you just wasted a pick on that. Three of their first four picks from last year, they had four picks in the top 81 selections last year, and they used three of them on the wide receiver position. I mean,
something else that you can't do, you can't continually miss on guys. In 2019, the Chiefs got in the second round, Mecole Hardman and Juan Thornhill. Juan Thornhill starts. He's really good in the back end. Mecole Hardman is a contributor on that high-powered offense. Got Kalen Saunders in third round. He contributes in the inside. Rashad Fenton, who played a lot as cornerback. So, these guys aren't home runs, but they're playing and they fill needs. And I don't remember if they
paid. Only draft guys from Clemson and Alabama, which I guess is fine, but
not a bad strategy if you don't know what to do.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe you should know what to do. How about that? All right,
final note. Wilson also had the Raiders taking Josh Jacobs, except in the second round.
Oh, there you go.
You should have ran their draft, Ryan. You should have ran their draft.
Wait, so who did Wilson have them taking in the first again?
Devin White, 4th overall, Clelin Ferrell, 24th overall, and Greedy Williams, 27th overall.
Yeah, he's been injured. That ain't looking so good.
But like that should have been the plan. Take three defensive players at appropriate draft slots, you know, and like beef up your defense. All right, moving along. Sorry, we don't want to crap on the Raiders.
Raiders only podcast.
Yeah.
Like John Gruden had someone else running personnel, he'd be doing well, I think. Josh Allen, great? Question mark says moral tragedy from Apple Podcasts. Love the podcast. Only football podcast I listen to throughout the year. I want you to tell me I'm crazy. I'm a lifelong Bills fan. I am thrilled with Josh Allen, but as I was watching closely last year, seeing the games when the stadium was empty, he was awesome. But when there were fans in the stands, he was average. Interesting. Is he going to revert to a Bengals level QB next year? When fans are in the stands every game.
You needed a, well, like an Egyptian drop there for Breach.
Is this amazing? I bring up Andy Dalton the first question. This guy subtly brings up Dalton with the second question. I really like this question though, in the sense that we need to do some research on any quarterback that had their best season in 2020 and how they played with fans in the stands versus not in the stands. Cause that's huge, because there's nothing that is distracting you. You get to be hyper focused on what you're doing, to pay attention to all your reads. All of a sudden you threw Josh Allen in a nearly full stadium in the AFC title game and he bombed. He went 28 of 48, barely completed 50% of his passes, threw an interception, got sacked four times. It was an ugly game. So I actually think this is something interesting and probably worth watching to see how some, you know, if Josh Allen takes a step back, you can say, well, it's because he played so well. The only in 2020, the only thing he could do was take a step back. Or you could say, wait, he is playing in full stadiums now. Maybe he's not as good because not as good of a player with the full crowds.
Dear God, please let Justin Herbert have a good season next year, because if he doesn't, all the all the people, myself included, who weren't high on Justin Herbert will have a built-in excuse. That's interesting. I was laughing when I was reading this. I thought Josh Allen only played poorly in that last game, though, because I remember early on in the playoffs, my talking point, and we pretty much agreed, was that we didn't know how Josh Allen was going to do on the biggest stage, because the year before in Houston, when he threw the ball over his head, and you're like, oh, my God, what is this man doing? We didn't see any glimpses of that. But again, maybe that has to do with the fact that there was no one there. I think a lot of it probably has to do with maturity, but maybe there is something to that. So I guess that's something to keep an eye on, because there are definitely going to be fans in the stands in 2021. There are going to be a lot of them.
Well, I mean, one of the things, I mean, I don't think that Josh Allen's like, I mean, we do need to definitely go look at this. And I will say there is a theory in golf that, you know, Colin Morikawa won his first major, the PGA Championship out at Harding Park in California on CBS. During the pandemic, when there were no fans allowed at the course. And there is a theory out there that some people have floated that these younger golfers are having an easier time winning and competing in events with some of these established veteran golfers because there are limited or no fans out there. Like even looking at the Masters right now, it is not full. It's like 25% full, maybe 40%. I don't know, somewhere between 25 and 50% full. Like half of Tiger Woods' power was derived for a while from the roars of, you know, the crowd when he would do something big. And so, I mean, I guess my point is that the level of difficulty is increased when you have a huge thing of fans. Now, I don't think that Josh Allen's like worse because a bunch of Bills fans are in the building. Maybe it's away fans. I do think quarterbacks perform better this year, probably because there wasn't as much noise. It's way easier to operate an offense in an away game when there's zero fans in there, right?
It's tougher to operate an offense
when there's easier, way easier.
Yeah, no one disagrees with that. And that's the point Breach was making. I still think if you're a Bills fan and worried about it, there are probably more concerning things, because Josh Allen appears to be legit and he's made a ton of strides. I don't think you become a lot less accurate because there are 50,000 people yelling at you as opposed to four.
Now there's also the case we made that like Josh Allen, you know, cause he played at Wyoming, not exactly dealing with, you know, huge crowds, the Wyoming Cowboys crowds. I don't know. I don't think it's something, it's not something that would concern me if I was a Bengals fan.
I just think this is an interesting premise worth watching.
Yeah. I agree completely with that. I don't, I would not be worried about specifically as it relates to Josh Allen, but I do agree that this premise, and I think it applies to other sports too. Like we saw in the bubble for the NBA, like some players just played better. Like TJ Warren came out, and just played lights out. I mean, maybe it's a crowd thing. Who knows? We like it. Moral tragedy. We'll keep an eye on it, but I wouldn't sweat your Josh Allen quarterback situation. You're in a pretty good spot with that. Probably number two now, if you were starting a franchise. Certainly has leapfrogged.
Well, yeah, we have to wait to see what happens and what looks to be a very
tenuous situation for Deshaun Watson. I mean, if you were starting a franchise today, I think Josh Allen would be the second.
How many years?
You're starting a franchise, so
okay, yeah. You're not taking Aaron Rodgers. You're probably not taking Russell Wilson. Yeah. We know Breach is taking. Breach is taking Andy Dalton, but everyone else is probably taking.
I'm taking Joe Burrow.
Burrow would be top five.
Justin Herbert.
I mean Herbert's up. Yeah, Herbert's top five probably.
Joe, Justin, and Josh, all the best quarterbacks with the J names.
Patrick Mahomes.
John. Has
Jay.
His name's Jatrick. Jeez.
Everybody all right, let's take a break and we come back. How can the Browns get better this offseason and push the Bengals further down? We'll tell you next. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
All right, Mahler Baller says, love the show. One, what do you think about the Browns adding potentially four starters on defense in free agency? And two, Super Friends have to do every combine event. Who does the best?
All right, let's answer the Browns things first because the second answer is going to be a short one. That won't take long. So John Johnson is awesome. I love it. We read a comment in the previous show where someone was upset with Dubin for not loving it, but that was just because of the money involved.
Are the four guys we're talking about here, John Johnson,
I think Anthony Troy Hill,
Malik Jackson, Tech McKinley probably.
Yeah.
Anthony Walker also signed, who came over from the Colts as a linebacker. And I know that I don't think he's a full-time player, but I know that Darius Leonard was sorry to see him go. So maybe he's in the mix as well. Cause I feel like Tack McKinley, is he even going to make the team?
I wouldn't be very bullish on Tack McKinley being a starter.
Cause I mean,
I guess that's the question. I mean, maybe let's look at this as a whole. Do we think the Browns did a good job? I think the Browns did a good job in free agency adding to a defense in places that they needed help.
Right. I agree with that. And Greedy Williams hopefully will be healthy. They have the other safety they drafted at LSU who was injured all of last year. He'll be back, the second round pick. So they have pieces in place, but I think they do need to beef up the defensive line. Breach mentioned Malik Jackson. I don't think Tack McKinley's a solution. You could draft someone early on to get an edge rush help there, but they have safety taken care of so that you can check that box. So yeah, I think right now, I don't even know if they're second. I always forget the odds. The Ravens are favored, but I don't think the Bills are far, the Browns are far behind and they shouldn't be. I think it's probably closer than maybe we think right now.
It is +110 Ravens, +180 Browns.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you like gun to your head, aren't you taking the Browns over the Steelers this year?
Oh my God. Yeah. I thought you meant over the Ravens. I was going to
say, I might take the Browns first place.
Cause I think Kevin Stefanski year two of that offense, Baker played pretty good.
I thought Baker played well last year.
You're getting Odell back and that could be good or bad depending on your perspective.
Baker could have been another one of those quarterbacks who only played well because there weren't any fans. I'm going to write down a list of quarterbacks that we need to be watching.
Baker broke the rookie record for touchdowns in the season in 2 years ago.
Yeah, but the Freddie Kitchens effect lasts 3 years.
It's not like he was the best quarterback in the NFL that year or even.
He should have been rookie of the year. He should have been rookie of the year over Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You just dunked on yourself.
I wrote a story about that, demanding that Baker win rookie of the year, mainly because I had a bet on Baker to win rookie of the year. Anywho.
So who wins the combine event? So that's the 40, the vertical, the broad jump, the three cone, the short shuttle. Are we running routes and doing pass blocking drills and all that stuff too?
I think it's just the physical events.
The field day stuff?
Yeah. All right. So I would assume that in Breach's mind, he's winning.
I don't know about the bench press. Like you could take me in the bench press.
Yeah. I'm not benching.
I think two reps is winning the bench press in this.
So it's either me or Brinson.
225?
Are we doing, actually doing 225 or like, I thought we'd scale it back. I think half a rep is winning the bench press.
Whoever goes the highest wins.
My agent
Whoever's willing to let that bar fall on their chest wins because you actually sat down.
So the combine, these players, when they don't bench, they have to stand up on the microphone and explain why. I'll be going, my agent said I don't need to and I will do it at my pro day. So that's my response to the bench press.
Yeah. I don't think any of us.
And then you know what? You're going to get trashed on TikTok for passing up on the bench press.
Cancel Ryan Wilson for not being able to do 225 30 times.
So my boy Ryan Wilson.
Can
you imagine like a 14-year-old calling a 47-year-old my boy? I mean, what are we doing? Go cut the grass.
At any rate, I don't think bench press is just, I think
that's
probably.
That's off the table. So the 40.
It's probably a tie at zero.
Yes. Unless one of you guys can, Breach has incredibly short arms, so he could probably do 225 like 10 times.
Yeah. If we got a year to train for this, maybe I'll get one.
He needs a year for everything to train.
I'd wait till like the month before and be like, all right, let's see how much. I give up. Yeah.
The secret weapon here is like Debo. Like Debo is going to come out.
Oh, does Debo count?
Well, if he does, he's going to come out like Jim Carrey and Cable Guy in the tight shorts and the headband and running the suicides to get warmed up and then start smoking us.
I mean, yeah, if Debo's involved, he's winning. But I would say out of the three of us, I think the 40 would be a dogfight for the three of us.
Dude, Sean smoked you.
Sean would win, but you're not.
Sean says he's slow for someone now in their late 20s. He was mid 20s at the time.
I mean, what do you think you're running on the 40? I'm just confused here. Like
whatever you run and take off a half second, that's what I'm running in the 40.
All right, if we had time to train, I think it'd be close. Right now, I wouldn't. Whatever. I mean, I'm not suggesting I'm going to win these combine skill sets, but I don't think either of you are like going to dominate. I think I think it'd be a toss up, honestly.
My age is the limiting factor. So
the biggest detriment,
the short shuttle. We're not running routes and all that stuff.
I would give Wilson the edge right now because he's probably in the best shape.
Well, Breach runs. He doesn't like to talk about it, but he runs.
Well, since the baby has been around, it's been a little bit less.
Yeah. Breach has a small baby. He's not doing any exercise.
I think we should
pushes a stroller to the park.
This would be the time where you could beat me right now. This is probably the most out of shape I've been.
All right,
Brenton,
you better set the finish match. We should also do the wide receiver gauntlet and have Prisco throwing the footballs. I would like to see that just for comedic value.
That would be fun.
Prisco can't throw, so there'd never be a completion.
But that would be the funny part is like Pete would be flailing everywhere at these balls and we'd get to laugh at Pete, and his inability to, accurately throw.
So of all the talent at CBS, is BMAC winning this thing hands down? Even be a second? Like is Will Middlebrooks? I don't remember him as. I didn't watch a lot of baseball. Is he athletic?
I mean, BMAC, Brady Quinn, probably.
Well, Brady's not winning like the 40 in the three cone versus BMAC. That's what I'm talking about, those drills.
Danny?
Well, Danny's my age, so he's obviously a much better shape.
Yeah, BMAC's dominant.
Because BMAC's 35, 36. I think it's the same age as Brady, maybe.
Do we have like Rip or Raja? Do they
Is
count?
There anyone else, Debo, that we're missing? I don't know if Debo wants to talk.
What do you guys think you guys would hit on the vert?
Oh, 15? Like, I don't even know.
Seven?
I was going to say, you get into double digits.
Seven?
I was going to say, 15 actually sounds high. Yeah, I'll start with like 9.
B-Max yeah, no idea. No idea. Brinson and Breach, though. He's almost 40.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So there you go.
Who?
BMAC.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, he's a former professional athlete.
Right. I think he ran a 4.45 at his combine.
Yeah.
A little bit slower than I would have expected. Very disappointing, BMAC.
You serious? It's pretty good. Clip that, Debo. So is there any way, Debo, is anywhere you're losing to us in these drills?
Yeah, I'm not putting up any fight on the bench, but I think I got everything else under wraps.
I think you would beat Sean too.
Favorite NFL podcast, despite Benson being the kidding, kinda. This is from the G.
Oh, he spelled it B-I-N too. I love it.
Yeah. G-Man Mets, the Apple podcast. Well, I thought the banter sometimes drove me crazy. I listened to other NFL podcasts and found myself realizing the banter makes this pod feel like you're just talking football with your friends and actually makes it super relatable and enjoyable. If I could have the Super Friends answer one question, it would be, what is everyone's favorite sports memory? Doesn't have to be just football. It could be any sport moment you got to see live, either on TV or in person. P.S. Wilson, please stop mocking teams taking Mac Jones in the top 10. This is probably from March before the 49ers traded up to number three overall.
And now Wilson looks like a genius.
Also, that's what that is called. That's called that episode of Seinfeld where George is like, you know, you don't like me at first, but then I just hang around a little bit. It's like, Costanza! And all of a sudden you just find yourself liking him. I mean, that's the whole point of the show, is that you feel like you're.
Yeah, the people say this podcast makes you smarter. Like, in general, this podcast makes you start smarter because you feel like you're smarter than we are. Like, it's not that like we're.
No, but I mean, like, the goal of the show is not for it to be like a overly produced NFL.
It's not a college lecture. It's just a bunch of.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of shows are like, all right, let's go to the next segment. All right, coming up. It's like, no, we're just, it's
mailbag.
Yeah.
There you go. That's our production value right there.
As far as our production is great. We're not dogging Debo there. As far as favorite sports memory. Mine is. The 1991, I think it's 91, was it 92? 1991 NLCS and, Sid Bream legging out, limping, dragging his leg around third base after, Rafael Cabrera, I believe it was, hit a single. Sid Bream beats Barry Bonds' throw and the Braves go to the World Series for the first time.
Was it Rafael Cabrera? That name doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah. Oh, I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah. I do remember that because I remember watching it. I was actually in college when that happened and watching it live, and I was a Braves fan at the time. Cause
it was a pinch hitter. Who was it?
I feel like you're half right.
Francisco Cabrera.
Francisco Cabrera.
Ah, there it is.
I don't think it was, who's Rafael Cabrera?
Was it Rafael Ramirez? Rafael Ramirez played shortstop in the 80s for them, but he was gone by that point.
It was 1992. I'm sorry. 1992. Okay. So the Braves had been to the World Series in 91 and lost to the Twins. And then this is 92. And so like at that point with the Braves having already been to the World Series once, I'm 11 years old at this point in time. Huge Braves fan, and you're just thinking like, all right, we got to get back. This is our year, tears when Jack Morris had, taken out John Smoltz and Lonnie Smith got duped with, running around the bases the year before. And so you're thinking there's a game 7 crazy series. I was up late with my dad out on our little porch. And we're screaming our heads off, trying not to wake up my mom. And so I think that's one of my favorite memories. Obviously, Duke winning a title. I was a Duke fan as a kid in 91, 92 was up there. And, the Braves World Series in 95 is certainly a very enjoyable moment for me as well.
I think it was 1990. That's the Duke experience that I enjoy when UNLV blew their absolute doors off.
Or you mean Bobby Hurley like blew his pants off because he had diarrhea?
call it what you will, but
something got blown up.
Yeah.
He had diarrhea before the thing.
Cha cha cha. My favorite one was whatever Jim Breach moment Breach is about to mention. Now my favorite one is I remember it must have been 9 because this was 82. I think it was January 82. I remember watching the catch. Joe Montana to Dwight Clark over Everson Walls.
Oh, who are they playing against?
Cowboys. Oh. Why? What are you?
Okay, yeah,
I know where you're going, Brinson. Who, because of the catch, they won the game. Who do they play in the next round?
Oh, no, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I knew where he was going.
That's the thing is, I was actually a Bengals fan. I said this, I've told the story before, because that was one of the few teams that I would see regularly on national television that year because they were really good. With Ken Anderson and, of course, Jim Breach, and Forrest Gregg was a coach. Chris Collinsworth was one of the wide receivers. Anthony Munoz was on that team.
But just to be clear, after Dwight Clark made the catch, the 49ers beat the Cowboys in the NFC title game and then played the Bengals in Super Bowl 16. That's how.
Right. And I was actually pulling for, in fact, I did not like the 49ers at all. I was pulling for the Bengals and I was upset by the outcome of that game. But I remember watching it live. I was sitting in my parents' bedroom watching on a black and white television as a 9-year-old, which is crazy because my youngest son's 9 now and he doesn't know the difference between a baseball and a football. So I can't imagine him carving out time to watch the NFC championship game as a 9-year-old and having a vested interest in how it turns out. But also that was the time where we had the Atari 2600 and that was it. And you can only play video games for 15 minutes without thinking about getting bored stupid. So you'd be doing sports related stuff. So yeah, that was probably one of my first memories of like big time sports stuff. I watched a lot of baseball back then too, because TBS carried the Braves and WGN carried the Cubs. And that was it. There was no Yes Network or anything like that. That was the only show in town if you wanted to watch sort of national baseball on a daily basis.
Wilson, you called me out. It is a Jim Breach memory. it's literally kind of like yours, your first football memory sticking with you, yours being the catch. Mine was 1988 season. The Bengals were playing Washington. I think it was the season finale, or it could have been the second to last game. It was one or the other. But if the Bengals won the game, they were going to clinch first place in the division in home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And so 5 seconds left. The game's tied 17-17. Washington's trying a field goal, a 29-yarder. You make the field goal, it's over. It's 29 yards away. You think there's no way you can miss a 29-yard with 5 seconds left. Washington's kicker was Chip Lowmiller. He hits it off the upright. It's no good. The game goes to overtime. And keep in mind, this is a Washington team that was the defending Super Bowl champs. They had won it all in 87. And this is the 88 season. So now Doug Williams and Washington got the ball first in overtime. The Bengals sacked Williams, forced a fumble, recovered it. My dad came out for an overtime field goal and he never missed an overtime field goal in his career. He hit it. The Bengals won 2017 and that propelled them to Super Bowl 23. My backup is Miami of Ohio Sweet 16. I think that was 98 or 99. Wally Zerbiak, Wally World. That is actually why I went to Miami of Ohio. I was on the fence. It was either my junior or senior year in high school. They were on my list already. And then we got to the Sweet 16. I was like, I'm going to Miami. That's it. And so I ended up going there after my 1 year college football career was over.
The Breach low point was when he had to go watch Jackson State play North Dakota State in the championship game and then watch the Steelers take the game from the Bengals when Vontaze Burfict ran out of the back.
Jacksonville State, Ryan. Jacksonville State.
Sorry, yeah. Where was that? Texas?
That was in Dallas.
Did your dad support you, or was he disappointed when you quit kicking?
I think you get to the point where either you're not putting in the time. If you're not going to the NFL, right? So it's kind of
not with that attitude.
He's on board with it. Like you.
And he had to sit you down and be like, John, it's okay. You're not any good. Stop.
No, I mean, no. I mean, he already knew. Everyone in my family knew I wasn't the one that had any shot at the NFL.
And you had some other kickers in the family too, though, right? So he could have fallback plans.
Right.
Yeah.
So like everybody in your family like kicked. I mean, it's kind of bizarre.
Your sister
right?
played soccer. You had a brother that kicked or punted or something.
Yeah. My brother kicked at a D2 school and my sister, played soccer at Northern Arizona. So
how long was your Miami? I mean, cause Miami's a G5. It's a group of five.
Yeah. No, I played at Hanover Division 3. So I walked, then I transferred to Miami. I never played at Miami.
Is that where Woody Harrelson went?
Yes. Woody Harrelson and Mike Pence.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Are the only two Hanover.
Did you wrestlers. Have like, were you, did you kick, did, were you kicking games in Hanover?
I punted.
Oh, you punted?
Correct. I did.
What's what were you averaging per punt at Hanover?
I never played. I was only there my freshman year. So
they had another older punter.
Yes, they had an older punter, and you just kind of, you get there, you're like, if you're playing Division III football, like, you are like in love with the sport, and yeah. You know, so it, and you know, there might be a Division III guy drafted. Wilson could probably tell me who that is. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be the guy Debo talked with, Strachan. What's Strachan's? Michael Strachan? Is that his name, Debo?
Yeah, he's D2. University of Charleston's only D2. Josh, we chatted with Josh yesterday. He had someone from Lake Erie College, and I couldn't tell you.
Quinn Miners. I think that's his name.
Yeah, Quinn Miners is his name. I was going to say Whitewater, Wisconsin Whitewater. They might be Division III?
Yeah, they're D3.
I don't know the Lake Erie guy.
But, you know, you're not going to have a lot of D3 guys in the NFL. So you're playing because you love the game. And if you are just – you're putting a lot of time being in college. At least if you're D1 or a Power 5 conference, you're doing it because you think you're going to be in the NFL. D3, you're doing it. You're missing all your study time, all your making friends time, all your – you know, it's a lot. So
it's
I gave up, guys.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I wanted to know if there were some dark secrets in there, like some, you know, some struggles, a tear filled, soul crushing father son discussion about your future. I'm just trying to unearth some dark stuff, Breach. Just wanted to see what turned you into a serial killer.
I said, Dad, I'm going to get a job writing about sports so that I can talk about the Bengals in every podcast I do with Will Brinson for the next 20 years. And he said, that's the plan.
All right. Next up from Aramaic 80 via Apple Podcast. Wilson. Dun-dun, dun-dun.
I feel like that's in the voice of Dennis the Menace, Wilson. Wilson!
Wilson or Wilson!
Yeah.
Tom Hanks' voice. Since it's draft season, I was doing it in Fish Force. Since it's draft season and things are boring crazy from day to day, I would love to hear the best friends discuss Wilson's best draft takes and worst draft takes over his career at CBS. Which analyses were 100% and which were just the worst of the worst takes that make Wilson look forward to a Ryan Finley tattoo by comparison. Mm. Love the pod. Stay safe and be well, fellas. P.S. I look forward to my Debo Giants Eagles bet again this year for good cause and for all the bragging rights for my terrible Giants, who were still less terrible than the Eagles.
I think this is the year they're going to be less terrible. Them and the Washington football team.
Debo will probably take that bet out of pride, but he knows it's a loser coming in.
I took it last year and I thought it was the biggest lock I've had in my life. And, that turned out not to be
true. Giants versus Eagles? Sure, pal.
Right. It was like last May. And everybody's like, oh, the Eagles have the most continuity, all these new coaches. I thought it was going to be a 5-game gap between the two. And
yeah,
Andrew, I was wrong, and I will gladly accept for next year.
Love it, Devo.
It is pretty remarkable that, you know, someone said 12 months ago, Doug Peterson's getting fired and Carson Wentz is going to be on the Colts. You'd be like, what?
What? A lot of things from 12 months ago that make you say what. Yeah. Okay, so... So Wilson, you've made a list. Okay, good. I was hoping you would have a list of your best and worst.
Yeah, I saw this because I read the emails. So, right, I've only been doing this. This is only my third year doing the draft. So there's not a lot of backlog in which to dunk on me on, which is good. And by the way, this Mac Jones thing could blow up right in my face too. We'll see how that works out. If he goes in the fourth round, then I need to talk to some people about the things they were telling me. But, I was high on Dwayne Haskins 2 years ago. He was my QB1, in part because I liked him, but also in part because Kyler Murray, he hadn't played a lot. I think he only started fewer than 17 games, and the baseball thing was a concern. Yeah. I absolutely loved Brinson's guy, Kelvin Harmon, the wide receiver at NC State.
Ooh, yeah.
Who, I thought was like a day one, day two guy. He went in the sixth round, I believe. And I actually asked the scout the following year. I was like, hey, so what happened with Kelvin Harmon? Like, why wasn't he? He goes, he's slow and he doesn't play special teams. I was like, all right, check. Lesson learned. I love David Montgomery at Iowa State. I thought that was going to make a lot of sense for the Bears, help out Mr. Trubisky, and it just hasn't worked. I don't think it's entirely his fault, but, you know, he hasn't been great. He was a second-round pick, and it just hasn't worked out. I was dunking all over Justin Herbert from, you know, October, November, right into the moment he was drafted. I didn't think it was a good idea. Clearly, because there were no fans in the stands, he's a fantastic player. We'll see what happens in year two. I'm just kidding. I think he had a really good season, but I was wrong.
The Justin Herbert one's the obvious.
Yeah, I think almost everyone whipped on that. I think Prisco says he didn't, so I'll take him at his word. But everyone else it was just hard to watch him play and think, oh, this guy gets it, and he absolutely got it. So congratulations to him and dunk on me. DK Metcalf was my wide receiver one. I wasn't buying into the three cone slow hype. I thought he should have been a first round pick. He ended up going to the last pick of the second round, I believe. So that was sort of a whiff. I didn't get the whole.
I don't think that counts as a whiff. That makes you look smart because he is a star. So.
Oh, right. I mean, the league whiffed on him is what I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. That's a good lesson too. It's like, you don't need, just cause it, like his, you know, it was easy to have him wide receiver one after the combine. And then, but then it started, people started digging up, you know, digging at like,
Before the combine, cause at the combine, he ran the three cone where it was.
No, but the first day of the combine. He blew up and it was like, oh my God, like DK Metcalf lit everything on fire. And then he did the cone drill and people were like, all right, this guy, you know, we gotta be out that's on right. DK. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, you stick by your guns. If you evaluate the guy as the best wide receiver in the class, you stick by it.
I did not like N'Keal Harry at all. And I think most people didn't other than the Patriots who took him and they apparently were trying to trade him. A few weeks ago, I loved Deontay Johnson, who's worked out. I loved Hunter Renfro because he reminded me of Brinson, but, he's also good. He had like 8-inch hands, which is in tiny. And, you know, he's male pattern baldness. He looks like he's 47, like I went to high school with him, but he's good. I didn't like Jalen Ferguson, who people were talking up as a first round pick coming out of Louisiana Tech because he had a bunch of sacks, but I didn't get it. And he hasn't really panned out yet with Baltimore. Maybe he will. And I don't think anyone, this isn't a huge leap, but I don't think anyone thought Daniel Jones. I was looking at one of my last mock drafts. I had him going in the second round, I think, the last 3-round mock draft I did back in the day. That felt fine, a second round pick. A lot the same way that people feel about Mac Jones this year. But he went 6 and we all made fun of Dave Gettleman for it. So, but I don't know, is Daniel Jones good or bad? Like, I have no idea.
Oh, I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah, you get an incomplete for that one. You don't get knocked for having him go in the second round, but the Giants don't get credit for taking him early because you don't know. I don't think we know yet if he's good.
Like, this year has to be the year that he does something, though. You can't have another year like you did the last 2 years and average.
I mean, he's led the league in fumbles and interceptions combined 2 years in a row. You can't do that. Like, that has to stop. Yeah, I don't think we know. I mean, it's too early to tell on Daniel Jones. Can I give some of my draft?
Yeah.
Better
start with Jake Fromm.
I don't think that counts. I don't think that counts as like the day after the mock, does it?
No, I just like to bring it up.
I will say that like traditionally my day after the draft mocks are more accurate than my final mock drafts.
I go back and look at mine and it's surprising.
I had the Panthers taking Luke Kuechly at the exact spot that they took him, when they took him. I said that Aaron Donald was the best defensive player in that draft.
Yeah, I'm laughing, but the reality is that no one liked him. Everyone thought he was too short.
Yeah, he fell to like 13 or whatever, yeah. Or was he 8 or anyway?
Close to middle, I think.
Yeah, I had the Rams taking Todd Gurley at the exact spot that they took him, which was surprising.
God, that's 10th, which is
yeah. And my final mock, I think I was the only person who had that one right. I said that I would rather have Tom Savage in the 4th round than Derek Carr in the 2nd round. That was not, that didn't pan out very well for me. Which, you know, maybe why I don't like Derek Carr. I'm trying to think what else. I had another.
You actually had one of the best mock drafts last year, just on your final mock draft. When you look at like the mock draft composite rankings, like you were, I think you were definitely top 10, which is hysterical.
I was top 10. Yeah. What was my,
Exactly. Like you have no idea.
What my final mock draft was. I mean,
yeah, that was sort of funny.
I had Simmons going to the Lions. That was, I nailed Andrew Thomas 4th overall to the, and then I had Herbert to the Jaguars instead of the Chargers. That was dumb. I had a bunch of those.
I had Herbert going to Jacksonville.
I did too. I was just
none of us that. Thought Herbert was going to be a top 10 pick. So we all whiffed on him.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of some other draft takes that I've had in the past. Oh, I was really high on Russell Wilson, and that worked out pretty good.
Yeah, of course you were. You're high on Garrett Bradbury as well for some reason.
Anybody that went to NC State, yeah. Brinson was high on.
I was high on Russell Wilson in 2012 when he was a second rounder or a third rounder. I hadn't picked him as my rookie of the year coming into the season.
I wanted the Steelers to draft him like in the 3rd round. I was like, that would be fantastic. Wish it happened.
That's probably it.
Breach has nailed every Bengals draft pick for the last 10 years.
I was high on Andy Dalton, got him to the playoffs 5 times, Ryan.
They were high on him too. They took him in the 2nd round.
I think they're going to draft a kicker this year who will be on the team for 10 years. There you go. Heard it here first.
Who's your favorite kicker in this draft? Breach, do you know?
I do know. I don't want
to. As soon as I can Google it.
No, no, I don't want to butcher the Miami kicker's name. Oh, Jose
Moragallis or something like that.
Yeah, I think he is hands down the top kicker in the draft. I think Florida's kicker is probably number two. I think it's McPherson. And then Memphis has a good kicker.
Do you watch a lot of college football during the season?
I mean, I try to. I don't. So I used to, but now there's a baby. I don't have as much time. I didn't have as much time on Saturdays.
Do you focus especially on the special teams, or do you perk up at special teams moments?
You know what's funny is that I actually do watch, like, I'll literally, if I'm watching on mute because I'm playing with the baby or something, I turn it off mute and put the sound on so I can watch a field goal or an extra point, because it blows my mind how teams butcher kicking draft picks. Like the Patriots took, you know, the guy that was like a right wing tattoo guy, Justin Rohrasser last year. He was the first kicker off the board. There's no reason. He shouldn't even been the fifth kicker off the board. He should not have been drafted. And somehow the Patriots took him as the first kicker in the entire draft. That made no sense at all. I thought that, and I wrote this last year, that Tyler Bass and Rodrigo Blankenship in that order, I thought were the top two kickers. And it's not like, the kicking's not something where you can really mess it up as badly as some teams had, because you can see how strong a leg is. You can see how far back they can go. You can see how accurate they are. These are all things you can see without, like, even trying. All you have to do is watch a little bit of film of them. And so it blows my mind. Yeah. So, Moragallis, number one from Miami, Evan McPherson, two from Florida, Riley Patterson, number three from Memphis.
Those are your rankings or just?
Those are mine. I was getting their full names. I just said the guy from Memphis. I wanted to have his full name.
There you go.
We'll do one real quick question from the chat, and then we'll get out of here. Somebody asked, if one of the main five QBs were to drop, who is most likely? OSS, if one of the main five QBs were to drop, who's most likely? Fields? Question mark. So the main five being Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, I guess we'll list third, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. Who do you think is most likely to drop Wilson? I assume it's between Fields or Lance at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's Mac Jones, only because I said, like, I've been hearing for a long time that teams consider him a top 10 pick, and I think that's part of the reason that the Falcons are now interested in trading down. Like,
either the 49ers are trading up to get Mac Jones, or the 49ers are orchestrating the most unnecessary and elaborate smokescreen in professional draft history by telling everybody they're getting Mac Jones when they really want Justin Fields.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the thing. But I like Justin Fields a lot. I just, I feel like if he had come back one more year, we'd be talking about him like Trevor Lawrence. People are looking for holes. Mm. We're at the point in the conversation where I say all the time when I do radio or whatever, if the draft were on February 15th, we wouldn't have time to pick holes in all these guys. But I think the answer is Trey Lance, only because he's only started 17 games. They've been FCS games. They've been in a run-heavy offense. He averaged, I think I wrote something on the website on Thursday, he averaged like 16 pass attempts a game. I mean, you look at Mac Jones was in the 30s. Trevor Lawrence was in the 30s. These guys are slinging it. Justin Fields, I think, was in the high 20s. So he just hasn't played a lot. So it feels like you're just gambling more on potential. I think he has a chance to be good, but I just don't know what that looks like in the NFL because he hasn't faced anything close to that type of competition. So I think if anyone fell, it'd be him. But I also feel like if he gets to 12 or something, they're going to be like their teams. The Patriots are 15, 19 is the Bears, 20 is football team, 24 the Steelers, the Saints are down there. One of those teams I would imagine is going to move up. And I think who said this? I think it was Mike Tannenbaum that said this, either him or Mike Lombardi, one of the former GMs, that the Washington football team loves Trey Lance. So maybe they're the one to look out for trading up for him. So
it feels like Trey Lance is a good fit for one of these teams, whether it's New England, Washington, I mean, even Atlanta, honestly, where they have an established veteran in place and they can take their time and let him sort of learn in the background. He played one game in the last, you know, 350 days.
The bad landing spot is the Lions, where you go into an organization that's upside down.
You know, Josh and I were talking yesterday about the Lions. It makes increasingly more and more sense that they should have no business drafting a quarterback for several years. Like, build some stuff around. Build the house and then buy the, you know, build the framework of the house and then buy the furniture.
They had that quarterback for 10 years and they didn't build a house.
That's what I'm saying. They just had
they built the house. They just burn it down every 2 years because they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ryan's the draft group. I'm just saying real quick. I think the answer to this question, my guess would be Mac Jones. Cause I think if the 49ers, for whatever reason, shock us all. Take Justin Fields or Trey
Lance or Kyle Pitts.
Take someone at number three who is not Mac Jones. Brinson, you were just talking about how Trey Lance could be a good fit with New England or Washington. I don't see Mac Jones as a great fit, especially ahead of Justin Fields or Trey Lance, when you look at the rest of the teams as you move down the draft. And so if he does not go to San Francisco, I could see him taking a big tumble.
That won't happen.
What, the tumble or him not going to San Francisco?
He won't tumble. A tumble for Mac Jones would be amusing only for just the ensuing TikTok assault on Ryan Wilson.
So my boy Ryan Wilson over at CBS Sports came out with his latest mock draft.
My boy.
Every week
All right. Let's get out of here. Great stuff as always, fellas. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday with Mock Draft Monday. For Ryan and John, I'm Will. See ya later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.